You're listening to Orange County's only community radio station, octalkradio.net.
So you think the benefits of eating chocolate may be made up by those people who just want an excuse to eat it? Today's guest, Susan Johnson's latest entrepreneurial venture, Zan's Confections, are non-dairy, gluten-free, plus they are vegan and low-calorie. But wait, this just in. They are as rich and satisfying as ever. I've asked Susan Johnson to be my featured guest today in order for you, my listening audience, to gain insight into how Susan has built three distinctive businesses here in Orange County, all focused on healthy gourmet foods.
You're listening to Orange County's only station with critical business information, Critical Mass, with your host, Rick Franzi.
Welcome to today's episode of Critical Mass, the radio show. I am your host, Rick Franzi. This business talk show, which airs live on Tuesday and Wednesdays at 4 p.m., it's for you, our listening audience, and it's available in the future as a podcast. So if you're listening in the future as a podcast, I would encourage you to listen live during our broadcast times here on octalkradio.net. The goal for this show is to help you, our listening audience, make better decisions. If you would like to join in on the conversation today, go to the community chat room page on octalkradio.net's website, log in, post your thoughts or questions. Paul, our producer, will be checking them from time to time. He brings them to my attention, and possibly I'll be able to work them into my conversation with my featured guest today, Susan Johnson of Susan's Healthy Gourmet. Welcome to Critical Mass, the radio show. Hi, Susan. How are you?
I'm fine, Rick. How are you?
I am fine. I'd like to start the interview by asking if you would be so kind as to talk to our audience about your background that sort of predates when you started your first venture here in Orange County.
Okay. Well, my dad was an entrepreneur, and so I always grew up wanting to be an entrepreneur. I'm the person he talked to in the family about his business, and I feel like a whole lot of what I learned just came from osmosis, from working for him in the summer and just listening to him talk about his experiences. But when I got married back in the late 60s, if you could stay home and be a mom, you did that more. And so I was a stay-at-home mom, but stay-at-home wasn't exactly in my vocabulary. It's not one of the things I did well. And so I started doing volunteer work, and I volunteered in a number of organizations, from the kids' schools to children's hospitals to all the different charitable organizations. And what I found was that I was not a very good follower, that I liked to take charge and lead the pack, and that I was very good at organization and running the event or whatever it was and getting people to get buy-in to do the volunteer work and to work on it themselves. And so as my kids grew older, when they got in high school, I then actually went into the development field and worked at a private school for a number of years and started their magazine, a continuing education program, alumni association, and a whole lot of things like that, and just loved it. And then my husband moved out here for an opportunity in San Diego between AT&T and Pac Bell to line underground cable for just the fiber optic network underground. And after about 6 or 8 months of living out here, they canceled the project. And we went, wait a minute, our kids are grown. We've now been seduced by Southern California. We absolutely love it, so let's stay here. And all the time in my mind, I'm like, the kids are gone. I really want to do something. I'd never lost that entrepreneurial desire. And we looked around San Diego to buy a business, but there really wasn't anything we wanted to do. And I had noted when I moved out here, I had been a customer of a business similar to Susan's Healthy Gourmet in Texas. And when I moved out here, I couldn't find anything like that. And I said, you know, why don't we start that business, that type of business of delivering meals to people's homes to make them healthier. My mother had been a breast cancer survivor at the age of 40. She was one of the few people to have survived to 50 and then died suddenly of a heart attack. And so I had the heart issues and the cancer issues in my family and believed very strongly that diet was a good way to make yourself fit, and that a diet really did help you in prevention of disease. So as we got put together a business plan, we were looking at it, and when we looked at what our goals were, we realized that San Diego was not the right place for us to be because we wanted to be in all of Southern California. So we said, well, that kind of sounds like Orange County, kind of in the middle. It's got San Diego to the south and L.A. to the north and Riverside to the east and Ocean on only one side of it. And so we looked around and we found actually a business location first to build out a kitchen, and then said, okay, now we know we're going to be here a lot. We need to live no more than 15 minutes away. And then we opened, and when we actually sat back and looked at it, we realized we had done all this, and we did not know one person in Orange County.
Wow.
So it was like this brilliant jump of faith, leap of faith. We had absolutely no thoughts in our mind that we could ever fail. It was all going to be perfect and wonderful and dreamy, and everything was going to go smoothly, and running a business was just going to be the easiest thing in the whole world.
You say that even though early in your life, your father being an entrepreneur and you being kind of a confidant of his, you must have seen some of the challenges that he faced in his
business. I saw the struggles. My dad was a very charismatic man and a good communicator, and he owned an electrical contracting company. And what one of his special gifts was the ability to communicate and to get along with everybody. I mean, my dad never met a person he didn't like. He made, you know, lemonade out of lemons all the time. He was just awesome. But his company was, for instance, it was a union electrical contracting company. But he decided he wanted to spread into residential and to do work in some of the areas where he couldn't do it with a union company because they were smaller, like residential and some other areas. So he actually went to the union and was the first contractor to get permission from the unions to also open a non-union company that was separate and not competing with this company. But he got their buy-in, for instance, before he did it, and that was the kind of genius he was. He was always thinking ahead about what it was necessary, and then everybody got to share in his successes. And he went ahead. He was a serial entrepreneur. He had a telephone company after that and a number of other companies. So he founded, I think, about five or six companies by the time he was through with it all.
Wow. So that is a great setup for me to ask you the next question, which is you started with one firm, Susan's Healthy Gourmet, mm-hmm. and delivering food to the home, healthy, nutritious food, gourmet food to the home. You now have multiple businesses, but I wonder if you could share with us what makes the original business different in your space, and how have you over the years been able to maintain that differentiation?
Okay. When we started Susan's, the goal was to deliver gourmet healthy meals to the home. And we started in Orange County and then expanded into LA and then into San Diego and then into Riverside and San Bernardino counties and all. And what we found as we went along, we're just always talking to our customers, was that what our customers wanted was not so much the gourmet food, but what they wanted were the regular foods that they ate, comfort foods, so to speak, that were actually better for them than regular foods. So what we did was rather than concentrate on a whole lot of lobster dinners and duck and things like that, we found ways to make meatloaf healthier, roast beef dinner healthier, seafood healthier, pastas healthier. And we did that by using all the fresh ingredients and looking at everything and that we did. For instance, we made all our salad dressings from scratch because it allowed us to control not just the calories but also the sodium. So by listening to our customers, we grew our business at what they wanted and by asking them what they want. And the other thing we did that actually differentiates all three companies from a lot of the competition is that our business is actually three separate businesses. We don't outsource things. We have a manufacturing kitchen, which allows us to keep control over the quality of the healthy food that we serve. We never have any doubts that what we say is in our food is in our food because that's the way we do it. But then we also had our own customer service staff, and they are trained and have great buy-in with eating healthy, and they are trained to help the customers to know what their needs are and to suggest and work with them on the best possible combination of meals for them. But the third company we have then are delivery drivers. We don't outsource our delivery either. So our drivers know where they're going, and they deliver direct to the customers. So let's say you're a customer and you want to order at 8 o'clock and it's 8:15 and your meals aren't there. You can call us and we can go immediately talk to the drivers and say, where are Rick's meals? How much longer before they get to them? Let's say you get an order that's missing a meal, heaven forbid. You can call us. We can go into the kitchen and talk to the kitchen about that. So we have direct access and are able to solve problems more quickly than a lot of the other businesses that do what we do. Plus, we put together a delivery schedule that rather than delivering daily, we deliver twice a week. So we plan our menu, our five-week rotating menu, according to freshness of how we do the meals. So salads and seafood, for instance, are there for you to eat the first day. And by the time you get to the third or the fourth day, you're eating more soups and casseroles and things that will maintain that freshness. So we've worked hard over the years to know what exactly it is that we're putting into each meal, how long that meal will keep and be fresh, so that the customer can have the greatest enjoyment out of it.
Oh, that is a comprehensive and thoughtful discussion about what's making and continues to make your business or your businesses different in the marketplace. And I appreciate that, Susan. I love to ask entrepreneurs to talk about their differentiation. It's always an interesting conversation. We're going to take a short commercial break. And when Susan comes back, I'm going to ask her to describe for you, our listening audience, about her guiding principle that she's using to lead her three companies today. So we'll be right back, but first, here's a word from our sponsor.
Smart Business Network is a business-to-business multimedia company providing insight, advice, and strategy for C-level executives at fast growth, middle market, and large companies. As one of the nation's largest publishers of local management journals, under the Smart Business name, Smart Business Network publishes 19 regional print editions, presents dozens of large and small-scale business conferences and award programs, and produces a vibrant interactive digital media presence. For more information, visit us at www.sbnonline.com.
Welcome back to this edition of Critical Mass, the radio show. I am your host, Rick Franzi. As I said right before the break, Susan Johnson of Susan's Healthy Gourmet is going to share with us her guiding principle. Susan?
I think the most important guiding principle to me and what I've always looked at is I really look very closely at everything that goes on around me, sort of my part of the universe. And I'm always open to what's there. I'm always looking around every corner. I'm always anxious to see what's going to come up next. The whole world is like that to me. I love to look forward at it. So what I have found, it's what I personally call serendipity. What I find is that by keeping myself open to opportunities and all, a lot of times those things, I'd like to say, fall in my lap, but realistically, they wouldn't have fallen into my lap had not I done the things that I had done or we had done the things that we had done in the company to allow us to have that opportunity be brought to our attention one way or another in the universe, in the world. So an example is, when we started our second company, we had Susan's Healthy Gourmet going, and I was a member of a women's organization, the National Association of Women Business Owners, and one of the issues I had was that I wasn't a dietitian, and so there were some people in hospitals and all who didn't relate to me, didn't give me credibility. A fellow board member called me and told me about a dietitian who'd been laid off on her job, who lived down the street from her, who wanted some part-time work, and was I interested? I said, sure. So she came by and worked part-time, and about a month later, I got an email out of the blue, and we hadn't had our website up. This was in the early 2000s for very long at that time, from SCAN, the HMO, the social HMO in Long Beach, saying that their food provider was going to close their doors, and could Susan's provide the meals for their customers who had dietary restrictions who were at home. I said, no, you know, you can't afford the Susan's price point, but being the networker I am, we went and met with them and got to know them. And after I returned, I said to the dietitian, oh, we were just at this, you know, place, and the company you used to work for that laid you off is now not going to be doing meals for them anymore. And she said, well, you need to buy them. And I said, Heidi, all of our money's tied up at Susan's. We don't have money to buy that. And she said, oh, no. This is about their fourth or fifth venture capitalist group they've gone through. All they want is to get out of their final, their truck leases and their employee contracts with their drivers. And as soon as that's all they want is somebody to take those things over and to go away. She said, I'll contact them for you. That was in October. By January, we had signed a contract with them. The seniors never missed a day of food. No money changed hands. We did the whole thing in a royalty arrangement. We got trucks from them, refrigerated trucks. We got additional drivers. We got all their recipes, all their marketing materials, all their trademarks, everything. And had I not come to Orange County and said, oh, I need to join that organization, and not met this woman who lived down the street from this dietitian who'd been laid off by a company, and then I'd gotten an email from somebody else and followed up on all that, it just would have never happened. And it would have been so easy when I got that email to say, no, I'm sorry, we don't do that. Instead of going and looking at it and seeing how that progresses. And another version of that is, you know, we talk about peer groups, and you're very strong with that. And I was a member of Vistage for a number of years, and my daughter is a current member of Vistage. We moved into a new facility about 2 years ago, and when we started looking for it, my daughter Carrie had just joined a Vistage group, and there was a person with a catering company in it, and she'd come to his office to meet him to make sure there was no conflict with there being two similar businesses. And I remember she came back and said, that's the most beautiful kitchen I've ever seen. And a couple of years later, when we were ready to move, she said, do you know of any place, can we get some information from you about lease costs, or we want to buy a kitchen or whatever? And the recession had hit, and their company needed to move out of Orange County and go back to L.A. And so that also just fell in our lap in its own way. And we're in that particular kitchen that Carrie saw, that's just beautiful, and it was a great windfall for us, but at the same time, it allowed them to get back on their feet by moving back to where they were secure and not be having to take the risk they had assumed by moving into Orange County. So there are two examples of it, but it's that way. I just find most of the time in our lives, there's just, that doesn't mean that things that aren't always happy aren't happening. But what it does mean is we learn from them. Every time that, you know, we find something that is difficult, what we find is if we look at that situation really closely, it allows us to, if we open our minds to it, it allows us to see what we could do better and opens new opportunities for us, which we can pursue. So serendipity is my big deal. And I think everybody needs to all the time look out at what's around them. And sometimes we get so busy in our day-to-day, it's really akin to not seeing the forest for the trees. It's very easy to get lost in those trees. But you've got to see the sky and what's beyond the forest and get through that forest to get to them.
And I'm sure you would support this statement that many times in your peer group, sometimes it takes the other members around the table to to see what is obvious to them, but because you're so close to the topic, it may not be as obvious to you as the member. And they really help to bring an insight to you to help go back to your business and bring that perspective into the business.
Well, you know, that's the best thing about it, because to me, that's the kind of peer group where, because everybody's a different field, there are no, there's no competition, and everything's confidential. And I can remember as a smaller business being the smallest business in the group and thinking, oh my gosh, I haven't got anything I can offer these companies that are multi-million dollar companies in some cases. And yet it's interesting because everybody has the same kinds of problems, but in different ways. And you're right. I mean, there are different insights that I have and that they had. I mean, it always made me feel good when I could help them. And I'll tell you, it kind of goes back to the same thing that I said earlier. But every month when I would get up to go to my group meeting, I would be so excited. And my whole attitude, as I was sitting there brushing my teeth, I'd be thinking about it. And yeah, I caught myself one day and I went, my gosh, every time I do this, I'm thinking, what am I going to learn today? And that's what's important to me. What am I going to learn today? I never left one of those meetings without learning, and hopefully without helping someone else get more insight into what they were doing.
Great. I appreciate that discussion on peer groups. I know you had experience both with Vistage and with Nabo, and you're passing that on in your family business, and your daughter is a member of a peer group as well. So I'd like to move our conversation in a slightly different direction, because I'm interested to see not only what the challenge is that is you're facing into right now in your businesses, but the steps and the ideas that you have to mitigate that challenge. So if you could share the challenge and talk a little bit about what you're doing and the businesses to address it, I would appreciate it.
Okay. Well, the biggest challenge that we have right now is with LifeSpring, which is our frozen meal company, the one I just discussed, the frozen meals for the home. We deliver through all the multi-senior service providers in Riverside and Orange and some of the other counties. But the SCAN is a social HMO, and those meals are paid for by Medi-Cal or Medicare. And we knew we were going to lose a very big contract at the end of last year. And knowing that ahead of time, we were prepared for it, but it still was a significant loss. And part of it was because the payments just weren't coming anymore because of the recession and everything. So not only did we lose those clients, but we also have to replace that income and look at where LifeSpring's going to go. And we looked again at that as we were very sad to lose that business, but we also realized that we have the opportunity to take that company outside of the local level where it is and move it in a lot of different directions. What makes LifeSpring special is that we have patented vitamin blends or proprietary vitamin blends, and we also add omega-3s to the sauces and the soups. So we basically have functional meals for the aging body that we do through the sauces. And we still take the same care, even though it's a frozen business, to have really good quality meals. So we're looking at a number of things. One of the things we did was go out and personally talk to the people who were no longer getting service and offering them special deals to continue to receive the service. We've hired someone who is looking at all the opportunities for senior-related items throughout all of California. So we're talking to everything from senior centers to wellness groups to residential communities to see what they need in terms of meals or what individual meals they need. We also have a product that isn't anywhere in the marketplace. And so we're really looking at, is this the time, is the country ready for a functional type of frozen meal that is good for your heart, is good for your brain, is good for your body, has additional vitamins in it, to sell? And these are not $2 frozen meals. They are more than that, but they also taste better than anything out there on the marketplace. So it's looking at what that market's going to do. In addition, we've built, even though we had just an informational website, we've built another website that is going to open it up first to everyone in California to be ready, able to order the meals online and do marketing for that. So what we've done is really looked at a multi-pronged way of what are we going to do to replace that revenue. We're looking at individual seniors. We also know through healthcare reform that Meals on Wheels and places like that are providing meals right now are not going to have the funds, and there are going to be a lot more people who need the kind of service that we offer for their parents or for themselves. And we're also looking at, you know, we've taken the whole internet approach. How can we promote this on the internet? We're looking at the stores. What's the best way to approach the stores? We're looking at the website. And we're, well, to someone that may look like throwing darts, what we did was hire someone who knows so much about the senior community and all in this area that we're able to take our time to develop the creative end of it and to have her gather all the information so that we can sort it out and figure out what the best opportunities are. In the meantime, Susan's has become a manufacturer of not just Susan's Healthy Gourmet Meals, but Susan's also manufactures the LifeSpring meals as well as the Zan Chocolate Company chocolates. So Susan's is now not only a manufacturer and seller of its meals, but it manages and does the manufacturing for the other two companies. So they have also turned into a co-packer. So this is how we constantly evolve and look at different ways that we have to move forward when there are challenges. If that contract had not gone away, we would have very happily sat here very successfully and just kept going the way we were. But that little kick has encouraged us not to sit back and say, oh my, what are we going to do? But, oh, wow, look, we've got all these opportunities, and we've chosen to start them in California. And if they work here, they can work anywhere.
Oh, that is a great setup for what I wanted to ask you about leading these multiple ventures. You've kind of opened the door for me there, and I'm going to say let's hold that until after this sponsorship message. And when we come back, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to ask Susan Johnson to talk about leading three business ventures and to tell us kind of how she's able to stay involved in the various endeavors and manage the amount of work that comes from having three enterprises that she's leading. But first, here's a message from our sponsor.
When you use the Premier Rewards Gold Card from American Express, the rewards points can keep on multiplying. By 3 with triple points on airfare, by 2 with double points on gas and groceries, and a single point for pretty much every other dollar you spend on the card. Then, start choosing from over a million rewards to redeem all those points. Apply today and the annual fee for the first year is on us. Call 1-800-AXP-GOLD or visit axpgold.com. The annual fee for the card is $175. See terms, conditions, and restrictions at axpgold.com.
Welcome back to this edition of Critical Mass, the radio show. I am your host, Rick Franzi, and right before the break, we said we were going to ask Susan Johnson to talk about how do you manage three business ventures. Susan, can you share with us your secrets, please?
Well, I think my biggest secret is my daughter, and I can't tell you how wonderful Carrie is. I'm your typical entrepreneur in that I think most of us in small business start a company. We honestly know that company from inside and out. By necessity, we do every single job in that company. In the beginning, I knew every one of my customers. I could have given you their names and their orders off the top of the hat. I delivered to some of them. I knew every recipe. I knew everything. And as we grew, that was fine. But it's harder and harder to do the day-to-day. And when we started our second company, it became almost impossible. And we're a family business. My husband works with me, and my daughter works with me. And now my son-in-law does, too. But it was just getting harder and harder. And finally, we sat down with a person from a Vistage group and said, okay, let's talk about what we need to do to make this work. And Carrie said, you know, Mom and I'm Susan at the office, but Mom isn't going to let just anybody come in and lead these companies. She's too close to them. And the only person she's going to trust is me. So I'm willing to take over the presidency. And we said, okay, that's great. And the point of that was to leave me free to be able to do the creative and to do the fun things. But I got to tell you, it was the hardest year of my life because I was so used to doing everything and so used to controlling everything that I'd still come in and walk through customer service and go, how many orders do we have? Or, you know, what are they making in the kitchen? And Carrie would say, go upstairs to your office. And I would go up there, and all of a sudden, after about a month of this, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm not needed anymore. Nobody needs me. There's nothing for me to do. And finally, it was really after a Vistage meeting, we were talking about different stages of business, and I'm sitting there, and I got this huge aha. And I think I even laughed out loud to the group and said, I get it. I absolutely get it now. I get to have fun. I don't have to do all those day-to-day things. I don't have to worry about the day-to-day expenses and the day-to-day recipes and the day-to-day discipline and all of that. I get to do the fun stuff. I now get to be the good guy. I get to come in. I get to do all the creative, come up with all the new ideas, go to my networking meetings, and my job is to really grow the business. And I enjoy doing the marketing part of it. I enjoy doing the CEO part of it. I enjoy growing the business. And the first time somebody asked me a question that I didn't know the answer to, at first I was just horrified. And then I went, you know what? It's a good thing I don't know the answer to that. It means the other people are doing their jobs. So I really learned to delegate, and it has to be that way. We have very much of a collaborative business style here. A lot of us are women, and I don't know if that necessarily matters in collaborative. But because we're in food, with all three of our businesses, we taste, we sample, we want a lot of people's opinion. And it's the kind of thing, we did it yesterday. We do it a couple of times every week. We'll taste new recipes. We write down everyone's opinion. We talk about them. And then we decide if they're going to be on the menu or not. We have managers retreats two or three times a year where everybody's free to talk about anything. And while, sure, when all is said and done, you know, I can say no to everybody else if they disagree with me, I don't think that's ever happened because we all listen to each other and we're very respectful about it, and that's the way we run our company. And I like it that way. And so it's really nice. I come in with a smile most every day, and it doesn't mean, like I say, that there aren't tough decisions. But I have others who can help me make them, and I've got good input from qualified people. So, again, it gets back to surrounding yourself with people who are really good at what they do. And the most important thing is to believe what you believe. We really value ethics and integrity. People say to us all the time, you're a very transparent company. You're very transparent people. What you see with us is exactly what you get. And for some companies and some people, that's not the way to do it, but it's the only way we know how. So with that in mind, and with our staff knowing that, it means our customers end up knowing that. And anybody can come to us with the problem, and we're working on solving it. But it's just our whole thing. We don't know how to be anyway but what we are. And that's another thing I learned. It isn't me, it's we. And I could be the CEO, and yes, the buck stops here, but as far as I'm concerned, this is a we. I take the responsibility for it, but you know what? They all really deserve the credit for the successes that we have because they do a great job.
It's interesting in that discussion to hear how it took you a period of adjustment, and I think that's, you know, I'm looking for learning moments where others who are listening to the show either today live or at some point maybe in the future and Apple iTunes as a podcast or something. But for other entrepreneurs out there who are making a change in their organization, sometimes you have to stay with the change through the discomfort of the difference and learn to see it a different way. Because I think it's like developing any skill. You need a certain amount of time to retrain yourself to the new reality. And it sounds like that's what your peer group helped you to do, but you ultimately had the epiphany on your own on what this new role meant for you as the founder and CEO now.
Well, and I think, you know, family businesses are a whole nother world anyway. We could talk forever about that. But family businesses can be very strong, or they can not be strong at all. And because we love each other so much, which is, just sounds so trite, I know, but it was a very difficult year. And we all had to pull the strength that we'd had from being a family together, because it was really tough. And I can't emphasize enough how tough it was. It really was. And it was about a year before it all just was like smoothed over completely.
I'm going to ask you another question, and then can you stay with me for a few more minutes? Because frankly, I have two more questions, but we're going to ask you one, then we're going to take a break, and then I'll come back and I'll ask you the wrap-up question. But before we get to that, let me ask you, can you share with us a past experience where you learned a valuable business lesson, but it came through a difficult experience?
Well, we just quoted one.
Right.
I think with all, I think part of what I did was, and maybe it's because my dad was so successful, that I expected this to be easy. I really hadn't ever had a challenge that I hadn't been able to meet. And so when I started a business, it was like, oh, this is a piece of cake. Like I said, it never dawned on me that we could possibly fail. We had a business plan. We had a great idea. And like a lot of people, you think, okay, everybody's going to flock to our doors. But it was really a good 4 to 5 years with Susan's before we were really successful. And those were pretty tough years. And they were tough because I believed so much of what we did in what we did. And so did everybody else who worked with us. But back then, eating healthy, this was in 1996, was not as it is now. It was not the passion. We were the pioneers in this business in Southern California. No one else was doing this, and it was a difficult concept for a lot of people to understand. So I guess the painful lesson was that, I don't know, humility is not the right word. We pushed forward, but the painful lesson might have been reality. That it's not easy. It's a whole lot of hard work. It's a lot of fun as you go, but it's a lot of hard work. And consequently, I don't take anything, you know, that we have for granted. And it's a lot of responsibility. And another very difficult lesson we had is when we, in December, we had been doing really pretty well with this with the recession. We had really looked at what we were doing and tightened everything up. But when we lost this contract, which we knew we were going to do, we had to seriously look at our budget. And this year is a rebuilding year for that one section of the business. And we had to keep ourselves viable. And we had to look at the people who were working primarily in that business when that contract went away, and for the first time, we had to do layoffs in January. And they were very, very painful and very, very difficult because, as I said, we had a wonderful staff here, have a wonderful staff here, and we had to let some people go. And we agonized and agonized, and I was fighting all the time to keep everyone on, and Carrie, who, you know, does the day-to-day and is the president, said, no, our job is to keep these businesses going. It's going to be a rough year, but we're going to be rebuilding this year. It's not that it's rough, it's that it's rebuilding. And we won't see a lot of the results for the next 6 to 12 months of the efforts that we've put out there, like the website's just getting ready to go up. But, you know, to mitigate those, it was really hard. It was very difficult. To mitigate some of that, the drivers that we needed to let go because a lot of it was deliveries, we found another delivery company that we knew people in, and we gave them references, asked if our drivers could call them, and we gave them a letter to where if they wanted to, they could call this person and go apply for a job. So what we did even within that process was we said, what can we do to help them here? And we did the same thing with a catering company that we know well. And, you know, do you have any need for any people in the kitchen? And we sent some of our people over there to interview with them. And we felt like that was the least we could do. But it was really difficult. And then, you know, the rest of the kitchen was worried, the kitchen in particular, because customer service really didn't change. You know, are there going to be more? Am I going to be the next to go? And a number of our employees have been with us for a very, very long time. And so that was really, really, really hard. And, you know, we're right on track and we're doing well. And I look forward to the day that, you know, we can call several of them up and hire them back.
Right. And we're going to take a short break. When we come back, the final question that I'm going to ask Susan Johnson to share her views on with our audience today here on Critical Mass, the radio show, is what are you looking at as opportunities for growth in addition to what we've talked about today? And as you leverage them successfully, what will it mean for your various businesses? So we're going to have Susan Johnson share her thoughts on that topic. But first, here's a word from our sponsor.
Smart Business Network is a business-to-business multimedia company providing insight, advice, and strategy for C-level executives of fast growth, middle market, and large companies. As one of the nation's largest publishers of local management journals, under the Smart Business name, Smart Business Network publishes 19 regional print editions, presents dozens of large and small-scale business conferences and award programs, and produces a vibrant interactive digital media presence. For more information, visit us at www.sbnonline.com.
Welcome back to this installment of Critical Mass. I'm your host, Rick Franzi, and I have Susan Johnson as my guest today. And as I said before the break, we're going to take a look to the future, Susan, and ask you to share your current growth plans.
Okay. Well, we talked about LifeSpring in depth, so we have that on our plate. We're really very busy. With Susan's Healthy Gourmet, we've started a new menu plan called our Good Sense Menu, S-E-N-S-E, but with the dollar sign through the first S. And what that is a variation of our menu at a discounted price. One of our best things that we do is the fact that we allow our customers to pick and choose their meals, to tell us what they don't want to eat, and how they want their meals, etc. But what that does is it raises our cost. So we've come up with another menu that's a very set menu that you can order lunches and dinners 5 or 7 days a week, or breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week with absolutely no changes to your, no substitutions. And it can save you about anywhere from 25% to 35% on your meals. So we're marketing that now. The nice thing about it is it's a great deal for anyone who's going through the recession but wants to eat healthy, who's looking at gas prices, who's looking at the cost of food in the grocery store, and it's really not that much more expensive. And our thought behind it is that with that particular program, the more volume we get, the more profitable it becomes and allows us to keep on doing it to our customers out there. So we're hoping that that will bring in a number of people who are worried, you know, with the economy as it is, but still want to eat healthy and want the convenience of having the extra time to do that. I haven't talked much about our most fun company, which is Zan, X-A-N Confections, our chocolate company. That's only been around for about 2.5 years now. And basically, in the 2.5 years we've grown that, we've moved from like 5 states to 35 states. We're in over 300 stores. But what separates and differentiates that company is it's a lifestyle chocolate company. We still have your toffee and your Belgian-style chocolates and all of those kinds of things. But we have two vegan lines. One is a vegan caramel, and another one is a low-glycemic vegan candy chocolate that is 29 calories of chocolate, and two of them equal one Weight Watchers point. Everything we do is all natural and gluten-free. But this year we introduced what we consider to be our most exciting line ever, and we're just now promoting it, and that is our Coco Zan line. And what we've done is come up with five functional chocolates. The most important thing to us is that they're not supplements masquerading as a chocolate. They're quality chocolate truffles that we've been able to put different ingredients in to make them healthier for you. The one that's gotten the most press recently is the Coco Preggers, which is for pregnant women. Happy mommy equals healthy baby. It has DHA and folate in it. And women want to be able to eat their chocolate. And DHA is very important for brain health and growth health and brain development for the baby as well as for the mother. So we've given the mom a chance to be able to have something like a chocolate and feel really good about it because it's giving her good things for her baby. We have a Coco Well, and the Coco Well has an immunity blend in it that's been proven to help in upper respiratory infections. And you take one of those a day, and you keep taking it, and it protects from the upper respiratory or helps you get well more quickly, according to the evidence that they have. That's Coco Well. Then we have Coco Brain, which is to keep your brain healthy. And that has DHA, folic acid, and vitamins A, C, D, 3, and E to keep your brain functioning and your brain working smoothly. The next one we have is Coco Heart, which has CoQ10 in it that keeps your heart healthy. And so that's a great way to get that supplement with it. But the final one we have is Coco PMS with Chase Berry and Bilberry in it. And it has a really nice tagline, too. It's, I don't know, it's unbitch yourself. Am I allowed to say that on the radio? Or is
certainly,
it too late
yes.
Now? Huh?
Yes.
It's a little bit late now, anyway. But anyhow, that one has been real popular, too, and it's got anti-inflammatories. So these are just being introduced, and like I said, the most important thing of all is that they're a great chocolate truffle. So this is the direction we want to go, and to the best of our knowledge, we're the first, or one of the first, if not the first, to offer a high-quality chocolate that has these particular function items that help. It's like all the vitamin waters you see out there, except now it's a vitamin in a chocolate. And it's real exciting. We're getting a lot of interest about it and are really expanding on it. So that's our main focus for growth with that company. So all three of them have a lot of growth opportunities. It keeps us busy.
I have the feeling, Susan, if you're gracious enough to come back at some future time on Critical Mass, the radio show, there may be a fourth business that you're working as well. You just strike me that.
Well, one never knows. It would never. I would always look at opportunities, like I say, and there always could be in there. But so, you know, the sure. other thing, and I want to end it with this about being a serial entrepreneur, sort of in my own way, is everything that we've done has stayed in a path of something that we know. We started by learning the business of making and delivering fresh meals. Then we moved into the manufacturing of how to do frozen meals, which, whether you think so or not, is very different from fresh meals. And then when we moved into the chocolate company, we learned and are learning about the retail marketplace, manufacturing and being a wholesaler to retail stores, which is a whole other different game. So as we're now looking at moving frozen meals possibly into the stores, we actually have the knowledge of how the stores work on a retail level. And if we even decide to put some fresh Susan's meals in some stores or fresh kids' meals in some stores, we now understand that business. So we spent all these years just adding to our knowledge in increasing levels from a base that we've just continued to grow on instead of starting over in something entirely different.
And I think that's another great lesson learned and kind of learning moment for the audience as well. It's something that I believe in, which is to grow, but grow from a base of strength and a market penetration. So thanks for sharing that, Susan Johnson. But before I let you leave, you need to let the people in the audience know, how would they find you online? Can you give us your web presence, please?
Yes, it's SusansHealthyGourmet.com. or zanconfections.com. That's X-A-N, confections.com. That's for the chocolate. And the LifeSpring one will be up in about a week or so. So I think you can go to homenutrition.com. But that won't be up for about another week. If you want to look at the other lines, it's there's Coco Zan, which is COCOXAN, and that talks about the functional chocolates. I'm on Twitter and LinkedIn, and the companies are too. And then my email address is SusanJ@SusansHealthyGourmet.com.
Well, Susan Johnson of Susan's Healthy Gourmet, I want to thank you for the time you've put into preparing to be on our show, and you've given us here the extended time that you've given us today on Critical Mass, the radio show. Thanks for being a friend of the show, and welcome to the Critical Mass business community.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Uh-huh.
Well, I hope you, our listening audience, have enjoyed today's show, and the interview with Susan Johnson has provided you with some new ideas and information that you can use to make better decisions. And I would strongly encourage you to apply some of what you heard on today's show. If you'd like to learn more about Critical Mass for Business, then check out our website, which is www.criticalmassforbusiness.com. That's Critical Mass, M-A-S-S, 4-F-O-R, business.com. If you're listening live, oh, are you lucky, because in 8 short minutes... you're going to have another show to hear on octalkradio.net, so stay tuned. Anyway, until the next show, this is Rick Franzi, your host, saying I hope all your decisions move your company in a positive direction.
You've been listening to Critical Mass, only on octalkradio.net.